Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to Poorly Read.
Hi, guys. Wasn't that a lovely beginning? Should we do it again? Hi, guys. Welcome to Poorly Read. 5 seconds of silence. Okay.
We do need a set intro of some kind.
No, I like how ramshackle it is. I think it relaxes the listener like a good shot of Novocaine.
I enjoy the word ramshackle, I'll tell you that.
It's what I call all my sexual experiences. Okay, so today's a really special day, Tom.
Is it?
Yeah, because we're starting on book two.
We are starting on book two.
Harry Potter and Chamber of Secrets. What's that in French? Le Chambre de... Shh.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, like secret is like secret, right?
Yeah.
Le Chambre du Secret.
Yeah, more or
wow,
less.
Wow, look at me. I'm speaking French all over the place.
They could technically be translated back to the Bedroom of Secrets as well.
Wow, what a sexy Harry Potter spin-off. That's what we should have called our podcast, The Bedroom of Secrets.
We'll call something that.
Yeah, we're going to bank that, I think. I want to use it for something. Maybe we can put it on a t-shirt for our forthcoming merch line. Yeah, we haven't got merch.
No, but we're forthcoming at some point.
Yeah, some point in the near millennium.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is book two, and I always sort of forget what colour the actual book itself is. For some reason, I've always got this image of a green book, obviously, like the connotations of green in this book. But it's this awful, like, blue with a shitty illustration on the front. It's the fucking worst.
It's the colour of the Ford Anglia.
Oh, you're so right. Yeah, maybe that's why they chose it then. Yeah, because the first book is the colour of the Hogwarts Express that's in the photo.
Yeah, true.
Wow. I think the American version of the book has a better cover. I can't think of what it is right now. Most of their covers are pretty dope, to be honest. Ours suck. Apart from the last one. That's cool. And no, the sixth and seventh one have dope covers, I think.
To be honest, I can't recall all of the Harry Potter cover.
Tom's never read the Harry Potter books. So.
I thought the third one was pretty cool.
No, it's them on Buckbeak, and it's really... I think it's done by the same author who did the second book, and I think the illustration's really just crap, to be honest.
No.
It's not very representative of the actual characters, I don't think. I mean, it doesn't look like Emma Watson, so, you know. Alas, that's enough of that boring paper talk.
Yeah.
We're all electronic here. No. That was my impression of the electric guitar. And I don't play guitar, as you can tell.
I could tell from the hand gesture.
Yeah. I look like I was just sort of like rubbing a hedgehog. Like, yeah. Right, so chapter one in Chamber of Secrets.
The worst birthday.
The worst birthday, to be fair.
It's a pretty fucking awful birthday. They don't acknowledge it at all.
Which I'm not surprised at. I'm surprised that they used to acknowledge it before that.
Yeah, so am I, actually.
But, mate, I think because they're quite spiteful, because they sent him, like, a 50p and a hanger for last Christmas, right, at Hogwarts.
Yeah, like a 50p sellotape to
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so I think that they like sort of say, you know, it's your birthday. Here, look, I bought you a stapler.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrapped it in brown paper and covered it in poo.
Yeah, like the full insult gift.
Yeah.
Like an old pair of Vernon's socks or something he got one
yes,
year.
Yes, yeah. And I think the hanger present, you got a hanger and a bit of tissue paper. Yeah, or like a tissue.
That's fucking spiteful.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess you never complain about any presents you get after that, right? To be like, wow, I got chocolate frogs.
Yeah.
That's better than the enema that Uncle Vernon gave me last year.
Oh my God. Uncle Vernon coming down in a lab coat. Happy birthday, Harry.
Look, I got special spiky rubber gloves. I saw you had broccoli yesterday. Right, so yeah.
So chapter one is mostly just like previously on Harry Potter.
Yeah, kind of.
There's a lot of that.
I think she stops it. She does it in book three as well. I think that's the last book to have like a... Yeah, because Harry was a wizard. And then do like the recap thing. Because I guess by book four, you just don't fucking need it. But yeah, he's sort of... Harry's obviously, he's locked up at home. He's not locked up at home, but he hasn't got any friends. So he's just sort of like sitting indoors. And Hagrid.
It's Hagrid's evil
twin.
Yeah,
that's his foreign exchange owl. Has been locked in her cage by Vernon. I was like, that's fucking cruel.
Yeah, it really is.
That is a tiny ass cage, and that is a big owl.
An ass cage?
Yeah, just handcuffed. Forget it. I was going to make a joke that now I just can't bother to go back. And I suppose I could. We could just edit this out.
No.
No, I just imagined like Hedwig's buttocks inside like a tiny cage. Vernon's like, I don't want you pooing anywhere.
You need your ass cage. Tiny ass cage.
Oh, Jesus. And all the shit that must have been in the bottom of that cage as well.
Yeah, because I mean, as far as we know, he's not allowed to open it at all.
Yeah. That owl would end up pecking out its own feathers. It would go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harry is like, oh, just let her out. And he's like, no, I don't want you sending messages to your weirdo friends.
Yeah, which is true. But, I mean, that is his reasoning. But I just, God, why? Is it
I guess you just don't want to, because an owl carrying a letter is weird. So he doesn't want his neighbours to see.
Yeah.
I mean, what other reason? I mean, he just doesn't want Harry to have any sort of life.
No.
So they're all having breakfast and Dudley wants more bacon that's frying in the pan or sitting in the pan. And he asks Harry to get it for him. Then Harry says, say the magic word. Uh-huh. Everyone's like, ah! And it freaks out.
Yeah, like calamity ensues. Yeah. Because you said the word magic.
And you know what's hilarious, right? So Vernon says to him, I told you not to say the M word, but when I was listening to it, it sounded like he said, I told you not to say the N word. And Harry's like, oh, but I can't be racist at school. I share a dorm with a black guy. Yeah, that made me chuckle.
Yeah, how Harry and his racism.
Harry Potter and the Casual Racism, Chapter 1, Negro Post. Oh, God. Harry, for the first time, had a black postman. He was not happy about that.
So he burned a cross in the garden. That will show him, thought Harry.
He took the letter and straight away pointed at his hand and said, turd you. Vernon's having guests over, someone who he wants to make a deal with.
Yeah.
Sash Bakalım. That's let's make a deal in Turkish.
Well, thanks for that.
It's all right. Yeah, so he sort of goes through what everyone's role is going to be on the night. And everyone's like, yeah, so I'm going to take their coats. I'm going to do this. And then he's like, and what will you be doing, boy? And Harry's like, sitting in my room, making no noise, pretending I don't exist.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, poor kid.
Poor kid. Their whole prep for this meal is fucking tragic. I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, preparing what quips they're going to say.
I mean, the fact that Dudley's like, we had to write an essay at school about who our hero is going to be, and I said it'd be you.
Ugh.
I was like, if I fucking heard a kid say that to me, I'd be like, we're not making this deal. Yeah. I'm going home.
Your kid is a fucking freak. He doesn't even know me. Why does
he's
he
never met me.
No, he's never met me. Why does he idolise? Like, what is this guy? Like from a building company or something?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, well, it's enough to fucking make Petunia cry. That woman. I think she's got unhealthy feelings towards her son, to be honest.
I think all of the members of this household have unhealthy feelings about a lot of stuff.
Oh, God. So, yeah, Harry goes and sits in the garden because everyone's forgotten his birthday, it seems.
Yeah, he sings a little happy birthday to me song. Yeah.
Okay, so Dudley comes out and he's like, I know what today is. It's your birthday. And Harry's like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But not before Harry spots a pair of beady eyes glaring out of a bush.
Oh, was that before that? I thought that was after that, sorry.
Well, because he looks and sees the eyes, and then Dudley's like, I know what day it is. And he's like, huh?
Oh,
looks
okay.
Away, and then the eyes are gone. And then I had forgotten that Dobby was even a thing. And I just was like, oh, yeah, this is where we get Dobby.
Yeah, see, Harry, Tom only watched the rough cut of Chamber of Secrets, the movie. It had no CGI effects. So he's like, who the fuck is this Dobby guy they keep on talking about?
Yeah, just a midget in a pillowcase.
Yeah, so Dudley says that. And then, oh, Harry says something like about doing magic to him. That's it, no. Then he's like, no, Dudley's like, why are we staring into the bush? And he's like, oh, just thinking about what spell to use to set it on fire.
Yeah, and he starts going, hocus pocus, squiggly wiggly.
I hate that. Jiggery pokery.
Yeah.
I was like, that you so fucking know. That's the kind of douche thing that Harry like would like push up his glasses and say to Ginny before like special sex times. Like, so you ready for a bit of a jiggery pokery?
bit of Alakazam.
Bit of Abracadabra.
And then the other Pokemon.
Are you ready for a slow poke?
You might get a bit Bulbasaur.
Yeah, so Dudley goes like, "Mom, he's doing it, he's doing that thing." And he runs inside, and Harry's like smug for a second, and then Petunia comes out. It turns out brandishing a frying pan and tries to hit him, and yeah, I was like...
She swings at his head yeah. with a frying pan.
And I was like, this is more examples of like the comical abuse that is meant to occur in this book. That's actually yeah. fucking horrendous. That could kill a person.
Yeah, she tries to fucking kill him.
Oh, God. And so she makes him... She knew that he wasn't doing real magic because nothing happened, which I weirdly thought, huh, is that an early sign that Petunia knows more about magic than she has led us to believe so far?
Maybe.
So because she was like, she knew that he hadn't done real magic. And I was like, huh. Okay, so obviously she's really accustomed to the actual effects of magic and stuff, so she must, you know... And she makes him do fucking chores, like, all day. In, like, she makes him mow the lawn, wash the car. What else? Clean the windows?
Yeah.
Clean the windows.
I imagine him, like, scooping gunk out of the gutters, but I don't know if that's actually in the thing. Stuff that you don't want to be doing on your birthday, basically.
Yeah, for real. That's so sad. Yeah, I mean, that's it, because she says you're not going to eat until it's done. And then he fucking finishes, and she gives him a bit of bread and some slices of cheese.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is so horrendous. That's so unnecessarily evil. That poor kid. That poor child. I just want him to be happy. So yeah, that happens. And then he fucks off upstairs. And what does he find upstairs, Tom?
Oh, yeah, Dobby. I did forget Dobby was in this one. And I instantly remembered how much he just pissed me off.
I mean, he does, but I can't help but love him. I think just because he's small and looks like a pet.
Yeah.
Some kind of... And without fail, and a bit that happens at the very end of the book, when I watch it in the movie... Actually, no, when I listen to the book as well, actually, I think, but I well up because I get really, like, overwhelmed, like, emotion that, like, Dobby does this really heroic act. Yeah. Do you know when he fires the curse at Malfoy?
No.
He's like, "You shall not harm Harry Potter." And he shoots the thing.
We'll get there.
We will get there. It really makes me go like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Yeah, so he goes into his room and there's a fucking house elf on the bed.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he wants to ask, what are you, but thinks that might be rude, so asks, who are you?
I mean, I love that he has that kind of sensibility. I don't know where he learned it from.
No, but... it's a mystery. Yeah. His 1 year at Hogwarts.
His 1 year at Hogwarts, seeing other girls his own age and a black friend. Dobby's like, "I've come to warn you, sir. Don't want you going back to Hogwarts."
Yeah, he says there is a plot to make bad things happen at Hogwarts this year. And if Harry Potter returns to Hogwarts, he'll be in mortal danger.
Yeah, they're hiring a troop of priests. Oh, shit, son. It's got dark real quick. Yeah. Yeah, and then Harry's like, "What? Like, what thingy?"
Which was also my reaction, because I can't quite... Just the plot to, what, open the Chamber of Secrets and...
Yeah, right. So this ridiculous plot to open the Chamber of Secrets...
Which consists of Lucius Malfoy putting Tom Riddle's diary in Ginny's book.
Cauldron. Oh, mate, I think it's Cauldron in the film. It might be. He puts it inside her
yeah,
textbook.
Yeah, he slips it in a book, yeah.
Not knowing exactly what will happen, but hoping that it will cause calamity at Hogwarts.
And that's kind of that, because that's what all I could think of, and it's like,
yeah,
is that it?
Yeah, like, he knows it was Voldemort's book,
yeah,
so he knows that something bad will happen, but I don't think he knows exactly what. But like, it would have to be more than that, surely, for Dobby to be like, because that's not really a plot, that's like a gesture. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
like, yeah, it's just and the way he goes about it's
so not a plot.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why Lucius would have been talking about it at home.
Exactly.
Like, he would have just thought, "Oh, I've got the diary of the Dark Lord here. I need to try and dispose of this somehow." Or it seems to be that he actively wants to get it into Hogwarts.
Exactly.
So that he can, but then like, and he just takes a chance on seeing someone in Diagon Alley and slips it in.
And he knows, I think he knows that it would need, someone would need to like pour their heart and soul into it for it to become a thing.
Yeah.
That's a fucking massive like hope. I think it's I think it's quite unlikely, actually, that someone would have found it and used it as like a journal to put all their like truest feelings into it.
Yeah, it's just a blank book, isn't
it? Yeah, that's like the least of the probable outcomes, I think, of what... But that's what is needed for it to... for what happens to happen. It would have been better if he was just like, Malfoy, take this to school. I don't know what it does, but I've heard...
I don't know why I call my son by his last name.
Yeah. Master Malfoy, take this to school. I don't know what it does, but bad things will happen, I think. But you'll be fine.
Yeah, just don't write in it.
Yeah.
Get some other schmuck to write in it.
Yeah.
And then things will happen that will be good for us?
I mean, barely.
What happens that would be... What's his goal here?
I think... It's just stupid. It's another fucking ridiculous JK thing. The best thing he could have done would have been like, we'll get to this. But when he tried to get rid of other stuff in the shop, Borgin should have been like, no, that's like, I've got no use for that. So Malfoy was like, oh, fine. I've tried to throw it away, but it keeps on coming back. And then... So,
oh, yeah, it does do that. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so then maybe he just saw like an opportunity to be like, huh, let me just give it to someone unknowingly.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have Dobby knowing about this plot. So we wouldn't have Dobby blocking the entrance on the platform, wouldn't have him visiting Harry, holding his letters back.
That's it, isn't it? Like, that's why he had to have formulated it beforehand.
Yeah.
Because otherwise Dobby had no reason to fucking show up.
It's actually, you know, hate to give a genuine criticism, but it's a fucking weak plot.
It is, to be honest. It would have been better if Dobby wasn't even in the book.
Yeah, but then Harry would have been getting letters all summer.
Yeah.
And would, you know, might have arranged to go and see, well, he wouldn't have been able to write back. But he would have known that his friends were writing and it would have been completely different.
Because Vernon still would have put the bars on his window.
Yeah, yeah. That would still have happened. Yeah. And Harry still wouldn't have written back.
Exactly. So it still would have...
Yeah, so the car would have still turned up, I guess.
It's just fucking JK. She'd obviously fucking eaten some mushrooms that night. And she was like, no, I think it'd be great for this book if we have the shortest man you can imagine. And he somehow fucks everything up royally.
He's wearing a pillowcase.
He's wearing a pillowcase. Typewriter. So yeah, that is a thing. And he's like, you can't return to Hogwarts. And Harry's like, no, but I have to. Hogwarts is the only place I feel home. I feel home. That sounds weird. That's bad English, I think. I feel at home.
Well done.
Thanks, Mom. And then Dobby's like, what, even though, oh yeah, like, I've got friends there, blah blah blah. And then Dobby's like, what, friends who haven't written to you all summer? Then Harry's like, how do you know they haven't written to me all summer? And then Dobby's like, oh, he did a woo woo. Yeah, so he's like, look, I've just been like collecting your letters and stuff and hiding them from you. And Harry's like, what?
And yeah, all summer. So Lucius Malfoy must have been plotting this and actively talking about it at home.
Yeah.
At least the whole summer, enough for Dobby to be thinking, I can't let Harry Potter go back to Hogwarts.
So right.
For the entire summer. A plot that consists of taking an opportune moment in Diagon Alley to slip a book into another book that belongs and waiting and see it and hoping that pans out into something.
So yeah, he pulls out like a wad of like letters from various people. And Harry's like, give me that, that's mine. And Dobby like prances around the room and he's like, no, Harry, you must promise you're not going back to Hogwarts. And then he's like, Dobby, no, just give me the thing.
Yeah. For a house elf, Dobby's not very good at taking an instruction, i.e. be quiet.
Yeah, I feel like Dobby was born without, like, a particular chromosome or something.
Yeah.
He's definitely a fucking anomaly. like, all the commotion makes Vernon come upstairs and be like, oh, stop making fucking noise, you little prick.
Yeah.
And Harry's like, sorry. I did think, why didn't they just put Harry with Mrs. Fig for the night?
Yeah.
That would have made so much more sense.
That would have made a lot of sense.
I bet Mrs. Fig would have gave him a cake as well. Oh, probably would have been homemade though. You know how I feel about homemade cakes.
No.
Oh, I'm not going to repeat it because our listeners know. They faithfully listen to every episode.
I know you have a thing about cakes being destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like, there are certain people I trust homemade cakes from, but most people I don't trust a homemade cake.
That's weird, man.
No, I just don't know how they made it, what state their hands are in when they made it.
Like, it's been in an oven.
Yeah, but I don't know like how clean their utensils were. I don't know if there's hair in it. I've found hair in homemade cakes before and been like, I fucking knew it.
So, I think that's anal.
I mean, well, you know how I like that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know how you feel about anal.
Anal cakes. That's my new like fucking metal band. Yeah. Yeah, so... Go on.
Vernon comes up and says, "What are you doing? You just ruined the punchline of my Japanese golfer joke." And I really want to know what that punchline was.
You just know it was the most fucking awful, like... Yeah. It was probably like the most horrendously racist thing you've ever heard.
Exactly. I really want to know what it was.
Yeah, they tried to hit the ball, and then I was like, "Of course you can't. You're all slitty-eyed." Oh, Vernon, you should join UKIP.
he probably already has.
Yeah, so Dobby's like, "You must fucking promise you're not going to go back." And Harry's like, "I can't." And he runs downstairs. Dobby, like, escapes downstairs and jumps on top of the fridge, I think. And Harry follows him. And then he's like, "Harry, you must promise you're not going to go back." And Harry's like, "Oh, but I can't, Dobby." And I just thought, you could have just lied and said, "Okay." And then Dobby would have been like, "Oh, phew."
Yeah.
And then gone.
I mean, yeah, this is it. Harry just being so fucking honourable, even to a little creature who has done nothing but piss him off.
Yeah.
In the 2 minutes he's known him.
Exactly. I just thought, you're an actual turd. So Dobby's like, "Well, then you leave, Dobby. No choice." And he floats Petunia's dessert that she's made. I would eat Petunia's cakes. I just know they'd be pristine and like store quality. And then it crashes to the ground, which is different to the movie, because in the movie it floats and lands on the wife of the guy that Vernon's having the meeting with.
Yeah,
because Harry, like, it hovers very slowly into the living room, and Harry tries to follow it and pick it out of the air before it gets there, but then just as he's about to pick it, it just drops on the woman's head, and then Vernon's like, "I'm sorry about him, he's very deranged."
Which, I mean,
God.
I mean, it's like, how would he even explain that? He's been asked to, it does look fucking weird. He's been asked to stay up in his room and make no noise. He's discovered in the kitchen having smashed the dessert covered in cream. I just couldn't stay upstairs.
What would I say? I think I would just say, "Oh, he's the neighbor's boy.
He runs in and smashes up our cakes sometimes."
Yeah, he's just escaped from the institution for the criminally insane. Excuse him. Let me go get my shotgun from book one. Yeah. So Harry has to clean it up, and then that could have been the end of it, but then a fucking owl flies in.
Yeah, and it's a letter from the ministry saying, we've received word, or whatever, we detected that a hover charm was used at your residence. As you know, magic is not permitted. And my immediate thought was, well, so you can't detect who has actually done it then.
Yeah.
You can't detect who's done it. You can only detect that it was done in this premises. So kids in wizarding families can get away with using spells.
Exactly that.
And there's no way of being able to tell that it wasn't their parents.
This law is ridiculous because it makes no sense. So basically, wizarding families are sort of trusted to, like, what's that word?
Like, police their own children.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't tell who in the house is doing underage, is doing magic. Because if an adult wizard is doing magic around an underage child, then it will trigger the thing. But because Harry's meant to be the only wizard within a certain radius of where he lives, it triggers that, and then they have to act on it because they know that he's not got adult wizards around him. Which I think it's so stupid, because then really, like, children in wizarding families can do as much magic as they like outside of school. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it makes no sense.
Which is an advantage for them. Really.
Yeah, exactly. And also, elf magic is really different from wizard magic. So it shouldn't trigger anything from the ministry.
Yeah. Later on, doesn't it become about, like, the trace?
Yeah, so in book 7, they think the trace might still be on Harry because he does a spell after his birthday, he does a spell and some Deaf Ears find them.
So I feel like it's the way they detect underage wizards using magic is via the trace. You still have the trace on you up until you come of age.
Yeah, so it's like around you, and so, it's like a localized thing.
It's not like you have your own IP address.
Yeah, exactly.
For the trace.
Yeah. So if there was another wizard, Dumbledore does magic as well in book 6 around Harry, and nothing happens. So it makes no fucking sense. There is no sort of up to the argument of it.
No. And if Harry had moved away from where his residence is, had gone on a day trip into London or something, was wandering around the streets.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And just found a sort of concealed corner and just did a little bit of little charm or something, just Wingardium Leviosa to fucking Urban Fox for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
There'd be no way of telling who that was. If people do it out in the streets, out and about, there's no way of telling who it is.
Yeah, that is true. I guess so. Yeah, it really doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
And it continues not making sense. So, anyway, so Harry gets fucking banished to his room in a really severe manner. He's locked in there. They've put bars on his window after this. They put a cat flap in his door so meals can be put through there. And he's allowed out twice a day to go to the bathroom. And this carries on for 3 days, and it looks like it's going to carry on for longer.
Yeah, it's fucking twisted.
It's, man. I can't believe that social services are not involved yet, for real. But yeah, so at the end of the third day, a peculiar thing shows up outside Harry's window.
Yeah, I quite like the way it sort of transitioned into it. Harry's asleep dreaming about being
in a
cage.
Yeah, I thought that was cool as well.
And like Malfoy or Dudley is like at the bars, shaking the bars.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop shaking the bars, I'm trying to sleep. And then he looks up and there is someone at the bars at his window.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
He's like, fuck no, it's a ginger. It's the Weasleys. They've pulled up outside his window in a flying car.
In the middle of a muggle street.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so they're outside there. They're like, Harry, yeah, we've come to rescue you. We thought it was weird that we hadn't heard from you all summer. Luckily, we did come, eh?
Hey, hey.
And Harry's like, oh, yeah.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
So they get some rope and they put it around the bars and they wrench the bars off of the window. And they say to Harry, look, climb through the window, climb into the car. But he's like, all my shit is locked in a cupboard under the stairs.
Yeah.
He's like, in the cupboard under the stairs. He just gets like a PSD attack. PSD?
PTSD.
PTSD. What's PSD? I don't know, Pokemon should...
die.
Pokemon should die. Pokemon suck dick. Pokemon please. Suck dick attack. Ah! and then so the Weasleys fucking, they're like, don't worry about it. They climb in, they like take out some, what do you call it?
Like a hairpin.
Yeah, and they fucking unlock the door.
I mean, that's a fantasy book thing. That happens in fiction, but I don't think you could, I'll stand corrected if anyone can show me how to do it, but I don't think you can actually pick a lock with a hairpin.
I mean, if they had two, I think you could. Because I think you do what you do with like a normal lock pick.
Yeah.
Plus, it's not like it's like a fucking front door lock. It's just a bedroom lock.
I say this. I've got no expertise in lock picking.
Yeah, well, I used to be a high class art thief. So I tell you, it does work. That and I'm really good at moving through lasers. So they go and get his stuff. They put it in the car. Then they're just about to get him into the car. Then fucking Vernon shows up. And he's like, oh, Harry! And he tries to grab him. I think in the film he falls out the window. I don't think that happens in the book.
He falls out the window?
Vernon does, yeah. He grabs Harry's legs and then they pull Harry. And then it's like a tug of war between them. And then they pull Harry really hard. And then it pulls Vernon out the window. And Vernon falls into the shrubs. Yeah.
Gutted.
Yeah, and it's all like comical.
But it's actually a pretty far... Second story, like... out of a bedroom window, it's pretty far to fall.
Yeah, he would have ruptured a disc.
Yeah, I mean, no, ruptured a disc.
Yeah.
I mean, not that he doesn't deserve it. I mean... I'm happy for that man to sustain injury.
Same. But I mean, he's probably got diabetes already.
Yeah.
He's probably got, like... He's probably on the brink of some sort of cancer, I imagine. He's a very unhealthy man.
Brink of a heart attack.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm actually surprised he survived to the end of the books.
He's very, his blood pressure must be through the fucking roof.
Right? Especially dealing with this fucking kid.
Yeah, how angry he gets about everything.
So they... I did think that's... After that, I'm surprised that Vernon would, like, let him back again.
Yeah.
That would be another, like, final straw for me. But, like, he's not fucking coming back to this house.
And he shouts out the car, see you next summer.
Yeah, I think that's why I wrote it. I was like, you're such a jammy git, Harry. Yes, they fly all night back to the burrow.
Back to the burrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder why it's called that.
What is a burrow?
Burrow is what, like, rabbits live in, right?
That's what I thought, right? A warren is a network of burrows.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's another, like, fucking quirky word she likes to use. Good old JK, we love you so.
I mean, it does have, you know, connotations of a sort of...
dirty, gravelly,
of a grubby little hole. Yeah, of like a sort of basic but homely accommodation, maybe.
Oh, that's a stretch to describe that place, but okay.
Yes. I think it sounds fun.
You would. So they get there and this like fucking 4 or 5 story ramshackle house that looks like it's made out of like cardboard and bits of tin and corrugated iron.
Yeah, it looks like it was once, what was he say, once an old barn or something, but has had lots of stories added on top, and it looks like it's held up by magic, which Harry reminded himself it probably was.
Yeah, and I wonder what the restrictions are on, like, making magic modifications to your house.
Yeah, and if Mr. Weasley, as we later find out, is able to make, to charm the car so that it appears bigger, appears a normal size from the outside, let fits, and the same with the tents they take for the thing in book four, can they not just do that on a house?
I guess so. Yeah, it's a bit sort of, why would you have so many stories? You don't need it. Because the upper ones just have all the bedrooms.
Yeah.
Also, wouldn't it have made more sense if the burrow was underground?
Then it could legit be called the burrow.
Yeah, and it would be like, oh, that makes perfect sense. But here we are. So,
so angry about the name of the house. It hadn't even occurred to me.
And also, because the house is shit and good at the same time, because if you can do anything to it with magic, there must be restrictions then of what you can sort of modify and make, like, good about the house, what you can transfigure. Because otherwise, surely you would just make it awesome.
Yeah. Still, though, there must be some kind of charm on it to stop muggles from seeing it, you'd have thought. Or...
I mean, probably. I mean, Mrs. Weasley probably has a charm to make it look like she's busy all day. Yeah, so they get in the door and straight away, good old Molly...
Does a classic McGonagall.
Yeah. It's like, you boys, what have you been doing? Flying cars. And they're like, oh, but Mom Harry was all stuck in this thing and stuff. And she's like, I don't care. You could have been seen. You could have been killed.
They could have been seen, which the idea that they weren't seen is ridiculous.
I mean, it was nighttime, and I guess if they didn't have the headlights on...
They floated a fucking car in a muggle street and used it to pry the bars out of a window.
Yeah, but I mean, if at that time of night, I reckon anyone who saw that would have been like, oh, I was probably dreaming.
I don't know,
it's
man.
Just, all right, it's
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, actually, you know, I love this book so much because I thought it so much it makes sense. Now I'm seeing it's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she screws at them for that, and then she cooks them breakfast. And I did think, I bet that her breakfast is a pretty swish.
Yeah.
Like, proper, like, hearty meals.
Full fry-up.
Oh, yeah.
That seems to be the gourmet breakfast of choice in the Harry Potter world.
Yeah, but I mean...
Classic full English fry-up.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... I would take it.
Yeah.
With vegetarian sausages. Yeah, so Ginny appears, and she freaks out because Harry's there, and she fucks off again, thank God.
What's your issue with Ginny?
Oh, I think it's just the actress who plays her in the film is so fucking terrible. She's all right in film two, and then every subsequent film she gets more and more ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, like I just have this really distinct memory of Ron showing his dress robes in book four to her at the breakfast table. Then he's like, oh, I think Mum sent me yours by mistakes. And she's like, oh, they're not mine. They're absolutely ghastly. And I'm like, ah, just fucking let me smash your face in. So, yeah, she makes him breakfast. She says to Harry that her and Arthur were actually worried about him as well, and they were actually thinking about going to get him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really nice, because she's only met him once before, right?
Yeah.
But I guess Ron, like, wrote home about him all the time during the year.
Yeah, and I mean, she knows that he's good friends with Ron, you know. She made him a Christmas jumper.
She did make him a Christmas jumper, that is true. Yeah.
So she probably feels like, you know, he's like friend of Ron's who might be...
Any friend of my son's a friend of mine.
Exactly.
She's that kind of woman, I guess.
Mm. Yeah, she makes them all breakfast, and then either Fred or George says, right, I'm off to bed, and she's like, no, you're not. You're going to go and denome the garden.
Yeah.
Which I quite like the idea of denoming.
I do like it, but I sort of think I don't like that she made them speak English. It's too humanized.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense that they speak English.
Yeah. And then Harry's a bit like, oh, fucking hell, you're like throwing them across the fucking field. And Ron's like, oh, it's right. It doesn't hurt them.
Yeah.
So I bet it does.
Yeah.
Like, you're throwing them like 20 feet up into the air across a fucking field. Oof. Okay, yeah, so they denome the garden, and then we first hear about Gilderoy Lockhart because they get a list of all their books they need. And all the D-A-D-A, I said that really weird for some
reason. Dada?
The Dada books. Dada means something else in the theatre world. It's like Commedia dell'arte, you call Dada. It's like Dada-ism. And
oh, right. It's boring. Don't know what you're trying to say in Harry Potter terms.
Oh, Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Oh.
Oh, my God. I see. I'm doing this podcast on my own for now.
We get Mr. Weasley mentioning his colleagues at the Ministry. We get another train station.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, Mortlake.
Who is Mortlake in the books?
I don't know.
I mean, like, someone, who is he that he mentions? Is he just another colleague who doesn't say where he works?
Yeah, no, I can't remember Mr. Dursley reeling off, oh, it's a nightmare, we've got this going on, this person's doing this, and Mortlake, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So there you go. That's a train station and a place in London. So we've now got Flitwick, Runcorn,
yeah,
and Mortlake.
Yeah, let's see if there's someone called...
Heathrow Terminals 1, 2, 3, and 5.
So this is Professor Cockfosters. Yeah. Yeah, so Ron, they do need to get to sleep, I think, after all this. Or something like that. They have to go and check out the room. So Ron goes upstairs and shows Harry's room. Ron's a bit embarrassed because it's not as big as Harry's. And I was like, I thought Harry's was pretty tiny.
Yeah.
But I guess Ron's is like the box room.
Yeah, I guess he would have. I guess all of their rooms must be quite small.
Even though they've got a big fuck-off house.
Yeah, there's a lot of kids.
You've got only, what, 5 at home? And they've got 5 stories.
Yeah, they could almost
and
have...
I think Fred and George share.
Yeah, it's true.
So there's only 4...
Oh, well, fuck knows what all those stories are for then.
I mean, probably just fucking Mrs. Weasley's, like, erotic novella collection, right? Oh, God. I'm trying to think of, like, titles, like, erotic wizarding books. Like, I don't know, The Wizard and the Tulip. Or, like... He's like, Mum, why have you got a book called The Chamber of Secrets?
No, it's a translation of the French, The Bedroom of Secrets.
Yeah, and then Ron's like, yeah, I know it's a bit, you know, it's not much, but blah, blah, blah.
And it's all fully decked out in orange.
Yeah, is that for the Chudley Cannons?
Yeah.
The Chudley Cannons.
As if he's not already associated with orange enough.
That's so true. That is one fucking red room, you know what I mean? Yeah, and then Harry's like, you know, this is the best house I've ever been in. I'm like, you've been in 2 others. Fuck off.
Yeah, oh, well, God. I mean, I do kind of share Harry's, like, wonder and, you know, enjoyment of the borough, I think. I quite like it as a quirky wizard's house.
Yeah, it's like a wizarding, like, abode. It's, I mean, would I want to live there? I don't think so.
Nah.
I just don't think it'd be like, I don't know, I don't think it would sit well with the delicacy of my nature.
No, I agree. I think I'd be fine.
Yeah, I think almost everyone else I know would be like, this is great. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to sit on a floral couch, thanks. But yeah, that actually quite nicely brings us up to the end of chapter 3.
Does it already? Correct.
Yeah, because that is not much that happens in those. Actually, a lot happens, I would say.
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose we get a recap of book 1. Harry's still getting mistreated at the Dursleys and, you know, escapes their clutches and makes his way over to spend the rest of the summer with Ron is essentially what happens.
Yeah.
And we get a glimpse of, you know, we start getting the build up of there's an evil plot going to happen in Hogwarts this year and Harry's going to be in mortal danger.
Yeah, from that fucking elf.
Yeah.
Do you reckon Malfoy does like weird things with Dobby at night?
Yes, shut your ears in the oven. Again.
I want you to go iron your hands and then come jerk me off. I discovered this at school last year. it's hot and bloody at the same time.
Oh, God. Oh, the melted flesh.
Oh, God. Oh, you have even more nimble fingers than the Potter boy. Oh, do you know what we didn't say, actually? Mr. Weasley shows up. So he just comes back from work.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, yes, I had to go and sort out something. There was like someone's muggle artifact was magically enchanted or something. And then he meets Harry for the first time. And he's like, bloody hell, you're Harry Potter. He doesn't say that. And Harry's like, yeah. And then Mr. Weasley sort of...
He doesn't say that either.
They have like a little chin wag and Mr. Weasley's like fascinated with like muggle things, we learn, like plugs, and he loves electricity, loves it.
Yeah.
Does he ask him about escalators here? Is that...
He does. Well, this, after sitting down with Harry, is really at the beginning of chapter 4.
Ah, is it?
Yeah.
I apologise. Okay.
He basically gets castigated by Molly.
Yeah, we'll just save it.
End of chapter 3, I'm still talking about.
Oh, Arthur?
Yeah.
Oh, for enchanting the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he says, yes, that's it. He's talking about enchanting muggle artifacts and, oh, it's all kicking off at work. And she's like cars as well?
Yeah, speaking of muggle artifacts, yeah. Arthur.
And and then she's like, your boys flew your car halfway across the country to go and get thing. And he's like, really? How did it go?
That is such a dad response. Yeah. I love it. That's so good. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, look, technically, I didn't do anything illegal. If I enchanted the car without any intention of flying it, that's a loophole. It's in the law. And she's like, because you wrote that loophole. And I'm like, good on him for writing that loophole.
Yeah. So I sort of feel like if he is high enough up in the ministry that he actually can like draft laws.
Yeah.
I mean, why are they poor?
This is always like, this is the question, isn't it? Because Percy at some point says to him, like, you've got no ambition and that's why we're poor. And I think that's it. I think he just loves working, like, because he's the head of his department. I think he loves Muggle Artifacts so much.
Yeah, he's the head of the Muggle Artifacts department and, you know, drafts laws around it.
Yeah.
Yet they're, like, on the fucking breadline.
But you got to think about the ministry is still quite archaic in its views on Muggles. So
yeah, I guess so.
Because the Muggle Protection Act has only just been brought in. Only just been brought in, we find out.
What is that?
So that you can't sort of do like magic on muggles, like unnecessary magic on muggles and things. Basically that you can't like bait or hunt muggles with magic. And it's only just been like written up. So I think the ministry is quite far behind on like muggle caring. So it has like a very sort of like snobby view of like the muggle department. I feel like it's probably like a kindly minister that even created that department back in the day. Most other ministers were like, oh, why do we even need this?
Yeah, like, why bother?
Yeah.
But it impacts on the statute of secrecy as well, because when regular muggle bits and bobs start, like, becoming animated and attacking their owners, that impacts on the statute of secrecy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can just only imagine it's one of the most sort of, like, neglected and sort of, like, I feel like most employees at the ministry kind of look down on that department. Which is sad, but I mean, I can understand why they would, because most of them kind of look down on muggles.
Yeah.
It's actually like I feel like most wizards are sort of like they're moderate people. So like they don't want anything bad to happen to muggles or anything like that. But I feel like there's very few wizards who are actually pro-muggle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like pro-muggle integration.
Yeah, I feel like most wizards are like, I kind of don't really think about that kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And then I think it's a minority that are pro and a minority that are like super anti.
Mm.
So yeah, we end chapter 3 at the breakfast table, I believe.
Yeah, the kids disappear off upstairs and to the sounds of Molly and Arthur having a Barney.
You so know that that just like devolves into like hate sex. They're just like, they keep on shouting and then eventually he's just like, oh, Molly Wobbles, I love you, and you get even more red.
Molly Wobbles.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, she does.
She's like, yes, I'm wearing my French maid pinny today. He's like, oh. She's like, yeah, and I've got a Yorkshire pudding in the oven. He's like, oh. Anyway, we're just talking about shit now because I've got a thing to do. So, yeah, this has been the first episode of book 2. I'm quite psyched to get it because book 2 is really good. I really do like book 2.
Yeah, you just have to ignore all of the...
Did you just have to ignore everything?
Yeah, ignore... Don't question too hard the reasons why things are happening. Just kind of accept that they're happening and be excited about the conclusions that they're going to draw.
Yeah, just accept that JK knows best, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if she did, I don't think we'd have a podcast. Oh, alas, I'm still waiting for that phone call from her. Yes, yeah, so,
I don't think we'll. Can you? Can you imagine how small a blip on her radar we are? We're nothing.
I would just love that for one day she just went to the podcast app and was like, "Let me just see what stuff is out there." And then we come up, and she was like, "Oh, I like that logo." And she listened to the first step, and she was like, "What absolute cunt!"
Yeah.
Yeah, they gave us the email address. Let me fucking write an email. And she sends us a pic to prove it as her, just with two fingers up.
She would not bother. This is so
No, I want it to happen so badly.
So far beneath her.
Oh, God. Look, guys, if anyone could put us in contact with her.
I would be too scared, though.
Me
We've
too.
Been bashing her books real hard.
Knowing full well that I would act like I'd never said a bad word about her ever. I'd love it so. I really do like her, though. That's the thing.
Well, yeah, me too. And we like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But, ... all the content of the podcast.
Yeah. Something, you know, I mean, just, you've just got that one friend in your group that you just fucking hate. It's kind of like that. Oh, God. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Please check out our Instagram and Twitter. I mean, I can't promise this is going to be great stuff on there, but maybe one day, I don't know, I'll film a car accident and be like, whoa, guys, did you just see that? And that will get us all the followers we ever wanted. Maybe that's breaking, like, Instagram's terms of use.
Also, not really related to our podcast content.
I mean, if I say poorly read at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, guys, did you see that? Poorly read. Yeah, so check us out on that. Email us at poorlyread@gmail.com if you've got anything you want to say. Or any suggestions or corrections that you want to make, please. But do also keep in mind that if you're going to be a smart ass, you're going to join our hate list along with JK.
Yeah, we don't do smart assery here.
Yeah, we don't stand for that here.
Yeah, we don't stand for really like overly scrutinizing the things people say and drilling down on why it doesn't make sense. So if you're going to do that, just fuck off.
If you're going to do that, you better be cool as fuck. Because I ain't talking to no geeks. Oh, I'm joking. Anyway, guys,
all right,
that's
let's
been
actually
Poorly
end
Read.
The episode
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And Hagrid's been Hagrid.
Hagrid's Hagrid.
This has been Poorly Read. Bye.
Bye.